Well, good morning, everybody. Once again, it's been a very busy program to point. And it's 11 o'clock, and joining us each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock for a market update is Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management, along with Stamati Sastra. Manny and Stamati, good morning. I'm joined in studio by both Mike Giannetti and Costa Pezikakis, and we hope you're all doing well. Kalimera.
Kalimera, sirs.
Good morning.
Kalimera.
Kali evdomada.
Well, Manny, I'm going to a couple of mergers and acquisitions in the news today. We got the Capital Bank buying Discover. I think Discover is the biggest card company, which I didn't know, in the U.S. And then you got Walmart buying TVs. What's all this all about?
You know, when you can't grow the way that you want to, you go through M&A activity. You know, and that's kind of the environment that you're in. But don't forget, last year was one of the worst years on record for mergers and acquisitions. Pretty much that entire pipeline was frozen.
So it was because of higher interest rates,
uncertainty around the economy, strength of businesses coming out of the pandemic, what was going to go back to pre-2020 numbers, what was going to potentially be, you know, lackluster in terms of its rebound. So that is exactly why you had a freeze in that industry last year. So it's good to see that the deal flow picks up. But again, you know, the question that I would be asking myself here could this be a good opportunity potentially, but is this the right thing for consumers? And I think that is the way that you got to look at it is, you know, potentially having two credit card companies merge, or two financial institutions, I should say, merge, you know, is that better for consumers? Does eliminating competition promote a healthier consumer, or does it potentially harm a consumer? And I think that is the key question. And I think that's what regulators will be looking at as they assess whether they should allow these deals to go through or not.
Yeah. Manny and Stamati, I want to interject for a second because I heard that this morning on the news in that Discover, you know, was, you know, why did I think that unequivocally Visa was larger as well as American Express, or are they considered, are they in two different categories?
I think Discover is just a pure play, you know what I mean? Visa and American Express have other different business lines,
yep,
where Discover primarily has always been just a true credit card processing play.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the sense of Walmart buying Visio?
My guess is it's their way of getting competitive with, you know, Best Buy, right? So Best Buy, I think their line is called Insignia, if I'm correct.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's their private line. So it's just, you know, potentially a higher margin business for them if they could be manufacturers of product, right? So we see it all across the world. You know, if you're buying and then selling secondhand or thirdhand, you know, your margin is compressed compared to someone who is actually manufacturing a product and can go direct to a consumer.
That makes sense.
It actually, I mean, you know, who can sell more TVs in Walmart, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and potentially by buying that, can they get it at a lower price point while also increasing margin?
And I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess it makes
yeah.
sense.
Well, you know? Look, a lot of things make sense until it actually comes to fruition. So if they're successful with it, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You could also, you know, completely botch this deal, which, you know, we've seen M&A deals, you know, happen all the time. So, you know, it's a great in theory right now. Let's see if they're able to execute. Let's see if people, regulators actually allow these deals to go through.
That's another point. Yeah.
You know,
That's not the most, yeah, that's not the most important thing facing us right now, though.
What is it?
Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, what happened last week. I think, you know, you got some pretty hot CPI numbers. You got a pretty hot PPI number, and you had a pretty dismal retail number, but I think the retail number we can assign an asterisk to because you were, you know, dealing with January numbers coming out of the holidays. January historically has always been a bad retail month. So I would take that one with a grain of salt. But, you know, having higher inflation, you know, you completely eliminated March's rate cut off the table. That's at zero now in the bond market. You know, there's hesitation, then if you can get it into May, I think June has a really good shot of occurring, you know, but I think, you know, where the market expected from the start of the year in terms of rate cuts, somewhere between 6 and 8. I think you're lucky if you can get 3 this year.
You mentioned
that was a huge tonality change. Yeah, I've been saying it for the last couple months.
You said that from the last couple of months, Manny, and I give you, you know, credit for that because, you know, we were hearing, you know, there might be 5, 6, you know, here we are into February, into March already. You know, we haven't had one yet, and it doesn't look like one's happening tomorrow either. So, you know, we still got to...
Well, tomorrow you're going to get Fed meeting minutes. You're not going to actually have a open market committee meeting. We're just going to get the meeting minutes from last month's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, you know, you don't have to have a crystal ball. The bond market is telling you what the expectations are. So, you know, you've eliminated March. You've got maybe 1 or 2 months. And, you know, the chances of getting zero this year is not zero. You know, the chances of not getting a rate cut this year is not zero, because the other thing that occurred last week is you've had a number of Fed speakers, even old heads of past presidents of Federal Reserve boards, come out and say that, you know, maybe financial conditions aren't as tight as we originally thought. Because if you just take it from one perspective, the sources of capital we have today are, you know, significantly larger than they were even 10, 15 years ago. So there's still plenty of cash and capital sloshing around the system, including in the, you know, the private credit market. That's one of, you know, the investments we made this year was going into private credit. And, you know, a lot of people have done that. There's a ton of investors that are willing to give companies money right now. You know, when you take the basis points they're tacking on to the safe overnight funding rate. And now that liquidity is going to companies that, you know, potentially need short-term capital, which makes recessions harder to come about. It makes, you know, businesses, you know, develop stronger moats around their business, and it keeps the unemployment number down. So the complexity that the financial system has today compared to where it was even a decade ago is substantial.
Manny, I wanted to
And then the other big thing that, you know, I'm sure, I'm surprised no one's brought it up, is NVIDIA's down 5 or 6% this morning. You know, and that is because they have their earnings tomorrow. And I think finally investors, after seeing where these stocks have gone, are starting to be more hesitant and saying, you know, can they actually make these numbers?
The news was that NVIDIA surpassed Google, I think, right? It was Google and
Amazon. Oh, yeah. Well, you want to hear a crazy statistic that I heard, you know, that I read last week. Look at Microsoft right now is 3 times the size cap weight as the entire energy sector. When you that's 3 times the size of adding your Exxons, your Chevrons, your Occidentals, all these companies in the energy sector. Microsoft at this point in time is 3 times the size of that in terms of the cap weight. And then if you look at the free cash flow, the energy sector is 3.5 times the free cash flow that Microsoft has. So it's kind of like we're in this hype, almost hype-like purgatory, where investors will continue to hit that button as long as that, you know, behavior continues to exist after the fact. You know, they're getting rewarded for it. But at some point, you know, I think you're starting to get to that teetering end of the line where, you know, how do you make a company that is already valued at 90 times earnings, you know, continue to grow in terms of its market share? Very difficult.
Manny, I want to expand on something and get your take on it, and without getting politicized. However, you know, we're all familiar with the fact that Donald Trump's got to come up with $350 million real soon to appeal this case. He's got a lot of assets, obviously, and has to, you know, do something. But, you know, how do you create liquidity at that kind of a number within such a time frame?
The key, the way people create liquidity, you know, and it always happens in dire times, is, you know, it doesn't matter if you have $100,000 or you have $3.5 billion like Donald Trump has. You know, you sell what you can and not what you want to, including grandma's necklace. It's usually how it happens. You know, so you see where you can pull capital from. You know, some assets are very liquid and some of them are extremely illiquid.
Yeah. From a legal point of view, he does. Even if he appeals, he has 30 days. And he has two options. Option one is you put the money into an escrow, but you got to put the money.
Mm-hmm.
And option two is you go to a bond company, which is really you borrow the money. You get someone else to you get a bond, which is a fancy way of saying you borrow the money.
A loan.
you get a loan, you pay premium and fees and all that, and they use your collateral, your assets, to guarantee that that amount. It doesn't mean you have to put the 350 down, but you probably have to put some percentage. That must be
20%. Yeah,
exactly. You know, he puts down, you know, he puts a building up in New York as collateral. You know, I'm sure he can create $350 million in loanable dollars from that alone. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what he does. I don't think he, you know, I don't think he's really blinking an eye at the situation.
Well, let's see if that will take, you know. I still believe that he's going to win the appeal. You know.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to get on the political side, but I'm just trying to understand, you know, the size and scope of, you know, because like you said, 30 days, he's got to come up with it in 30 days, and you know, it's not an easy.
Don't worry, he's got a team of lawyers and advisors that are probably working on this on his behalf.
There was a big also legal question, and if he can use contributors' money. Contributions for his PAC to pay a portion of it or even the down payment. He's using that PAC money for his legal fees. So it could be another thing, or it could be the new sneaker line he came up with, the Trump.
Right, exactly. It could be a new loophole, or it could be something that the Supreme Court eventually rules as, you know, being somewhat fraudulent.
You know, someone sent me a visual of the Trump sneaker, and I thought it was a joke. Is this real? Trump is coming out with his
already
own lineup of Babuccia?
Yeah, he came out
already. This wasn't a joke?
It's a gold sneaker.
Gold, yeah.
What is it?
Gold.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on the,
been all over the place.
I mean, where have you been?
But I didn't realize it. I thought it was just they were joking.
No. This is it.
So you can buy a pair of Donald Trump sneakers.
Yeah.
It's $400, $399.
Yeah.
it's a revenue, you know. It's a revenue.
I bet you any money he's going to make $200 million over there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He has mastered the science of licensing. That's what he does. He licenses his name to either in real estate. Mm-hmm. He's not building most of the buildings in overseas. He licenses the name, and he gets the revenue of that. The same thing he did with he has. Ties and suits and other apparel.
The name is known,
There it is. Mike Giannetti just showed me a picture of it.
I mean,
gold Trump sneakers.
You don't watch TV? He was on TV.
I missed it.
With the American flag. You know, he was in Florida when it all came out.
Florida. I wasn't looking at Trump sneakers. I was golfing.
With the American flag on it.
No, but that was yesterday.
All right. Κοιμήθηκα χθες.
Εσύ κοιμάσαι, το ξέρω. Yeah, you're looking.
Anyway,
But anyway, I mean, you know, let's face it, guys. I mean, you know, like, he borrowed the money. He paid the banks. The banks love to do business with him. And I'm not defending, you know, it's the, you know, this is the system. This is the capitalistic system. Now, all of a sudden, the AG from New York said that, oh, this is illegal. Illegal for what? I mean, you know, like if I own a home and I believe it's like worth like $1.5 million and then, you know, the appraisal from the bank will come, you know, 1.3 and they will give me 1.3, that's illegal, you know. I mean, you know, if the assessment from the town, from the city, or it's like less, you know, it does not work like this. That's how our system.
Present market value.
Yeah, but if you say your property is, you know, three times bigger on square footage, that's a problem.
Yeah, but if the bank, Stamati, I understand. But if the bank gave me the money, and there was, you know, nothing fraudulent, you know. How can you possibly, you know, I mean, the bank.
I'll tell you how you tell you. I mean, as I said, if you say that you're, I mean, I don't want to go on the legal arguments and all that, but part of the problem that he faced was that he said, my apartment is 30,000 square feet and times so much per square foot is the value that, and the apartment is 10,000 square feet. So that's the exaggeration and hyperbole that he was accused, and it was a very, very stern and obscure law that they used against him, and that's why, and I agree with you, as you said, it will be appealed and he will win. But don't forget, you had a judge that he didn't even let it go to trial. He made a decision And he said the facts are so overwhelming. That's it.
I mean, let's face it. If the bank agree with him and they gave him the money, that means the bank, you know, they are also, you know, defendants. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Wouldn't someone confirm that, you know, if I'm giving you a $100 million loan?
But the bank was there.
No. That's what I'm understanding. Yeah. Wouldn't it? You know. So there's a lot of things in play here that we're not privy to. Anyway, Manny, I know Michael here as well, and Costa, just wanted to pick your brains a little bit. We didn't talk about it last week as I was away, but your analysis of the Super Bowl last week.
Manoli won in San Francisco.
San Francisco did not.
Yeah, that we know.
You know, it's just, you know, the question now is that, you know, Kyle Shanahan has this, you know, negative rhetoric surrounding him about the big game. You know, he's failed to accomplish it now three times since being there. You know, very reminiscent of when he was with Atlanta and he let that terrible comeback by the Patriots occur.
And Manny, it's not that he hasn't won it. It's the fashion in which he's lost it. The way he's gone about play calling and coaching, it just is almost like he freezes up.
I think the moment got too big for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Saw the experience of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid really showcase itself. You know, they made a lot of bad mistakes there, including like what came out after the game about how the players and the coaching staff never discussed the new overtime rules in the Super Bowl. Like that is just, you know, preparing to fail.
And then
you never even had a meeting.
Right, and then you listen to the Kansas City players talk about it, and Mahomes almost sounded like, I'm sick of it. He goes, he's been talking about overtime since day one of the season. And then they had meetings. Mm-hmm. They had things during the week to talk about the new overtime rules. So they knew, that's why they were so excited when San Fran decided to take the ball. And I would be too, because you don't give Patrick Mahomes the chance to win the game. Knowing he's got four downs every possession, you know, it's just
exactly. And if you are gonna take the ball, go for it on fourth down. Like that was the dumbest mistake.
Yeah.
Let them, even if you don't get it, pin them within the 1 yard line.
Right, you got to score.
Or
you got to score
something like that. But you can't kick a field goal and say, you know, yeah, we're happy to give the ball to Patrick Mahomes.
Right, and I don't even think they knew. I think they thought that at the end of the overtime, the game was going to start over. And everybody was going crazy. And Romo, the one thing he said that was right is, he goes, if you're wondering why they're taking their time, he goes, because this is a new game. When the time runs out, we just go to the second quarter. And Kansas City knew the rules.
Yep. Yeah.
Crazy.
So that was my interpretation of it. It's, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm happy for Patrick Mahomes, honestly. They played their tails off, and they deserved to win that game much more so than San Francisco did. So, in my opinion, the correct team won, even though I was rooting for the other. But, you know, unfortunately, they just didn't show up.
Right.
And they let the moment get too big for them.
Right. Hey, Manny, real quick, dude, what do you think of the Red Sox? Do you follow them?
Oh, I mean, I think if they're worth following, yeah, but they're not worth following. I mean,
no.
This team, you know, talk about, you know, they're turning into the New England Patriots, right?
Yep.
They had their couple years of success, and now they just don't want to spend money, and they don't want to attract key talent. And guess what? Key talent doesn't want to come to Boston anymore.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you can't even get some of the, you know, forget the top tier names in free agency that, you know, went right away. Like, you couldn't even get the middle of the road to want to come play with you for the same amount of money that they joined other teams for.
Absolutely. Yep.
Think about that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Manny Frangidakis, market update each and every Tuesday, and sometimes we always touch upon a little sports at the end of it. But nonetheless, 12 Points Wealth Management, full-service firm providing individuals and families with comprehensive wealth management services. You can call Manny at 617-212-8343 anytime for a conversation. 617-212-8343. Manny, I'll leave the closing comments to you.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you did, Teddy, because there's one point I wanted to make to the audience, and that is that I think that the sector rotation that we've been talking about is starting to unfold, and we saw it last week. So when you had that bad retail sales number, so let me take a step back. When CPI and PPI came out and they were hot, you saw tech actually rally and you saw the small and mid-cap, those stocks that have not really performed in this rally for the last couple of years, underperform. So the same thing that we've seen the last couple of years happen when we had hotter inflation data, meaning that rate cuts weren't going to occur. When we had that dismal retail sales number, it became evident to the bond market that we potentially do need rate cuts. Well, when that occurred, tech underperformed, and the sector rotation we've talked about, where small and mid-cap and value stocks start to outperform, started to show up on the screen. So I do think that if I'm an investor out there and I want to know what happens when we do finally get rate cuts, I don't think it's going to be that tech is going to be your leader. I think that once you start to see rate cuts occur, tech actually becomes your laggard, and your small, mid-cap, and value companies start their reign of outperformance.
Very good.
Hey, you heard it here. Don't say you didn't know.
That's it.
Gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful afternoon. Thank you, and God willing, we'll regroup next Tuesday at 11 right here on Grecian Echoes with Market Update and Manny Frangidakis.
Have a great day.
Nastikala.